the little break that we did have, and hopefully we'll be re-energized for the next 2 weeks. As I mentioned, this is not a joke. The computer did go down, as did all my notes. So I apologize, but the notes that I do have are largely from memory, and tried to organize them. I was a little bit tense the last few hours, which I guess I should have publicly apologized to my wife about. So I don't know if the shiur will be as full or as organized as I hope it usually is considered. The psukim that I wanted to use as the basis for the shiur, I'm sorry? Okay, thank you. Parshas Pinchas, of course, has many exciting topics. I tried to avoid those, perhaps for another year. But in the Karbanos, this is part of the Parshas HaMoadim. Pinchas has a lot of the Moadim stuff. So some of the Karbanos, the Karbanei Musaf and Tadir, etc., are mentioned. And in Perach Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Gimel, we are told, Milvad, this is in the context of the Pesach Musaf, Milvad Olas HaBoker, Asher LaOlas HaTamid, in addition to the Karban that you bring as a Tamid in the morning on Pesach, Ta'asu Es Eila, you will also bring these Karbanos, Ka'ela, I will resist the trup, although I can hear it humming in the background. Ta'asu liyom shivas yomim lechem isherech nichach l'Hashem al olas hatamid ya'asu v'nisko. And then it continues in mentioning these other karbanos. So how do you understand this original pasuk? The first one, milvad olas haboker shavol hatamid ta'asu aseila ka'ela. So the pashup shot is that it's somewhat anecdotal. In addition to what I've just mentioned, Hashem says, now we're going to have some others. However, the Gemara in Masechet Zvachim, really the Mishnah, I should say, there is a Gemara, but we'll focus primarily on the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the beginning of the 10th parak of Zvachim is called Kol HaTadir, named after the opening Mishnah, which is the theme of our shir tonight. And here the Mishnah understands a klal from our pasuk. And the Mishnah tells us, Kol HaTadir mechavero, kodem es chavero. Anything that is more frequent, assuming that there's some kind of a competition, we'll have to see that some of those details throughout the shiur. If there's that is takes preference and goes first. So, for example, hatamidin musaf kodmin lemusafim, which is of course the context of our pasuk, that a karban tamid, which is a daily karban, comes before a musaf karban, which is obviously only semi-regularly. And then within the subcategory of musafim, the Mishnah continues, musfei Shabbos kodmin lemusfei Rosh Chodesh, right? If you have a Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, you bring the musaf of Shabbos first, because obviously Shabbos is more frequent than Rosh Chodesh. Musfei Rosh Chodesh kodmin lemusfei Rosh Hashanah. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So which carbon do you bring first? You bring the Rosh Chodesh one before you bring the one for Rosh Hashanah. And the source for all of this, Shina Amar, Milvad Olas HaBoker, Shal Olas HaTamid Ta'asu Es Eila. Which, if you look at like the Rav Bar Tanura on the Mishnah and the Mefarshim, the way apparently Chazal understood these psukim were not merely anecdotally, but rather there was a halacha, namely the Torah was telling us the Seder HaDvarim. Why couldn't it have just first told us the Karbanos HaTamid, which we know anyway, and then just told us, and you know, we all know there's a Tamid every day anyway, that's why it's called the Tamid. Then tell us of this special Musaf for Pesach. Why does it have to tell Milvad in addition to this? So Chazal understood, because the Torah was going out of its way to tell you, in case you would have thought otherwise, and one could easily have imagined that, you know, the less frequent may be considered more special, and therefore you might think it should go first. Kamash Malon says the Torah, Mavad, first you do this one, in addition to that, meaning subsequent to that, then you do the Karban Musaf. And from here we have... And that's where we have the principle. Okay. So this is the basic idea. There's only a very small little Gemara here. On Daf Tzadi, there's a little bit more that's related, but there's a very small Gemara here. I won't go into it, but just to paraphrase, the Gemara here starts off basically wanting to know, the Gemara here has a Havamina that perhaps the Pasuk just teaches us within two categories, a Tamid before a Musaf. But the continuation of the Mishnah, which differentiated among different Musafim, so how did we know that? And that's what the continuing of the Gemara is and the derivations are. The next Mishnah, following along a somewhat similar theme, talks about Kol Mekudush Mechavero. Again, similar ideas, you get a Karbanos with different levels of Kedusha, and therefore there is a priority that is established there. There is a suffix that the Gemara does raise, which we will reference later in the shir, but what if you have a tension between these two Mishnais? Something which is more Tadir on the one hand, competing against something which is more Mekudush. And the Gemara does not resolve that question. Okay, that's more or less paraphrasing the basics of tonight's shir. So What I wanted to do is somewhat differently than the style which I usually prefer, partially because different sugyas lend themselves to different types of things, and you can't superimpose a predetermined style that's not intellectually honest on a sugya. You have to let a sugya, so to speak, breathe. But also because, as I said, of my computer machala. So a little bit different. I'd rather, instead of having what I often try to do, which is some central question, some basic hakira, which the whole shir can pivot on, rather here just to discuss, again, a lot of this is a halacha lamaisa, there's a lot of discussion, there are almost, it appears, endless permutations of this question, and we won't go through the endless permutations, but to go through some of the basic rules which the poskim seem to establish, and then as well to go through some of the cases, some more common, some almost more exotic, if you will, and see where these things play out. So one of the classic examples where this does come up is, and where a very important principle is mentioned in limiting this idea of Tadir Vishenu Tadir Kodem, is mentioned in the poskim in connection with the halacha which is brought down by the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Peches Sif Hei, which is perhaps the most common or prevalent type of example, which is, let's say, you are eating a meal and then benching on Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. So what do you do? Or for that matter, a Shabbos Yontif. Right? This could happen multiple times even in a year. What do you do? Which one first, Ritzei or Yalaviyavo? So we paskin based on this principle that you're supposed to say Ritzei first, based on the principle of Tadur Shener Tadur Tadur Kodim. What happens if you said Yalaviyavo first? Are you Yotzei or not?
Yotzei
what? Well, that's okay, that's a fair point. But presumably venturing. This gets into a different question.
You see, first, as opposed to...
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Very good. This gets into a different question, which I don't want to talk about. I did not mean to get into this. But you pulled me in, so you're correct. What happens if you forget Yalav Yavo? What happens if you forget Ritzei? So the answer is you have to go back. The halacha is that any day in which there's a chiyuv suda, then the haskaras me'ena ma'ora, the ritzei, the yalav yavo, or the alanisim in theory, if there's a chiyuv to eat, then the mentioning of that day is ma'akev. So, Rosh Chodesh, okay, that's, right, I'm saying, so that's, is there really a chiyuv suda? What about Chalamayid? What about Chanukah? Right, these things are all discussed, but the basic rule, how to fit in every holiday is a separate issue, but the basic rule is whether there's a chiyuv. So let's say here there's a chiyuv, a yontif, there's a chiyuv suda. And let's say it's yontif and a Shabbos. So what if you mix up the orders? So the Mishnah Berurah mentions, as a given, the Mishnah Berurah just takes it for granted that you should just say Ritzei afterwards, because the concept of Tadur Vishenu Tadur Tadur Kodem is just a lechatchila. It's a preference, but it doesn't in any way touch on the fundamental position of whether you're Yotze or not. There are other poskim, if I had a Maramakamashi, I would have thrown them in there for you. Other poskim who say this as well. There is one daya which is quoted, I didn't have a chance to look it up myself, but a lot of the poskim quote one famous dissenter, which is the Lavush. The Lavush says that Tadur Shener Tadur Tadur Kodem is Ma'akev. Now, what the base of his argument is, and why is it so posh to all the other poskim to argue on him, I didn't have a chance to see it inside. Okay, so one other thing to mention is the Shages Aryeh has a 4 or 5 tshuvas on this topic in a row, and the second of those tshuvas in Simen Chaf. It starts with Simen Yutes and it goes for a few. You'll see a lot of different Shages Aryehs. The Shages Aryeh in Simen Chaf asks a variation of the Shaila, which is that what I just mentioned for the Mishnah Berurah is, let's say you finished Yalav Yavo and then you got, oh my gosh, I didn't say Ritzei, what do I do? So we just say Ritzei and keep on going. What if you remember in the middle of Yalav Yavo? Shag Sari wants to know, should you stop and then go to Ritzei, or do you just continue? So Shag Sari says, you just continue. Again, that's how, if you will, how much he downgrades the Tadur Vishenu Tadur Kodem. Tadur Vishenu Tadur Kodem is an operating principle for one shining moment, right when you get to the fork in the road. Which road do you take? Do you go with the Ritzei or do you go with Yalav Yavo? But once you're on Yalav Yavo, then You're saying Yalav Yavo, and you'll say Ritzei next. There's nothing, there's no hitter, so to speak, to go back in the middle. Another relative point that is related to what I just mentioned of this one moment, or when does it apply, the Maram Shik has a tshuva and Simen Sadi Aleph, which he says something which, again, I didn't see others say it, but to me it's very intuitive. And aside from being intuitive, I think there's another parallel in halacha which would support it. And that is, the Maram Shik says, this is only true, Tarshin Torah Torah Kodem, if you actually are planning on doing both mitzvahs right now. But if it's a situation in which you have the choice and you are going to take the choice of delaying one of them, the fact that in theory you could be doing both now, that there's a potential to be Mekayim two mitzvahs now, does not require you to do. So, for example, what is a what's an example of this? Many of the different types of shilas that come up relate to Lamashal, Spiras HaOmer, and Mariv. All sorts of things and Mariv. This is a classic example of this. So, leave aside the fact that there are certain times where we want you to daven Mariv first, not per se because of Tadir, but because you're going to forget. But we all know this is not the time for the Shir now, that Chazal have, there's certain Heterim that the Poskim mention about those types of things. You have a minhag kavua, and you make yourself a heker, or whatever it is, you're going to daven Mariv later. So, the Maram Shik's just saying something which I think is obvious, but it's worth noting that he says it. So you don't have to say, well, Tadir Shem Tadir Kodim, so I have to do Mariv first. No. If you're going to do both, so what's the order to do them in? So then you do the more frequent one first. But if you're not going to do the first one now, you don't have to do it. The parallel, which I don't think he mentions, but I think is a good parallel, and nothing more but a parallel, is Hilchos Brachos. We all know that there are certain kadimos, or certain preferences for which Birchas Hananyin you say first. But what I don't know is, think is as well known, is that that's only true if you really want to eat them in that order. If you really want to wait, because you want to have this type of food or fruit after it, you're going to wait, and you don't have to say, well, let me get that one first so I can get the Hadamah in. You don't have to do that at all. In fact, in this, unfortunately, you know, this halacha, which I think is like, well, gives lie to the famous, I assume it's a joke or a legend, of the Shidduch Feher, where they put all sorts of fruits and stuff and cakes in front of the prospective, date, and he has to, they test him to see if he knows that he has to make the mizonos before. What if he didn't want cake? What if he just wanted an apple? So he should take an apple, make whatever he ate. So that is an analogy to this same Maram Shik. When you're going to have both, so then there's an order, there's a preference. But if you're not going to have both, so you don't have to have both. Even if you can have one later, it's okay.
The pasuk that is learned from, carbon musaf and carbon tamid, those are not comparable. Because the carbon musaf did not require to do it at the same time as doing the carbon tamid.
Right, well, you do. Presumably you do it afterwards.
I don't say there's no, that's not.
No, no, but there's, but there's a time period when you can be doing both.
There is, but it's not the same.
In other words, we'll see, perhaps, there's in reference to, I didn't want to get into this as much, I've mentioned his name, I think, in the past, Rav Yosef Lieberman, a.k.a. the real Joe Lieberman, who is the, he's older than him, that's why I give him preference. He's also, I think, one of the Gdolei Hador. He's the Rav of the Sadi Gera Beis Medrash, which some of you may be familiar with, because it's behind Tomo, in Geula. He's an alter Yerushalmi. He's probably he's either number one or number two biggest expert in the world in Zrayim. He's a major, major Talmid Chacham, and he's also a very prolific writer, writes beautifully and clearly. I have many, many of his Svarim. So he has a two-volume set of Chidushim on Sugyas, Al Seder, Shulchan Aruch, Or HaChaim. So he has a piece on Tadir Shem Torah Kodem, and it's a very technical piece which primarily deals with other things like Tashlumin and Karban Musaf. But in Tfilas Musaf, but he has a big discussion, and he gets into the discussion from the Gemara and Brachos with Rabbi Yehuda about, some say that you're supposed to say Musaf before the seventh hour, how long you have to do Musaf. But so there's a discussion about that. But the bottom line is, there's certainly time in the afternoon where you could be doing Mincha and Karban Musaf. So the question is, which one would you do first? So the point here is that you're supposed to do the Tamid. That's again that pasuk. Another thing which is really a very important halakhic question, which again seems to be a primary consensus in one direction, but it's worth noting that the post can discuss, and that is the following. Perhaps the most well-known discussion of this comes from a short essay that the Shulchan Aruch Harav has. This is in Siman Tov Lamed Aleph, in the beginning in the Kodesh Achron, where he discusses, will you say Tadav Shainer Tadar Kodem if in so doing you will not be able to fulfill the Eino Tadir mitzvah? In other words, you're running out of time and you can only do both. So Tadav Shana Torah Kodem will tell me that I'm supposed to do X first. But what if by doing X I won't have time to do Y? So if you really have no time to do both and it's a zero-sum game, so obviously you're only going to do one. But the question is, do we still use as the defining principle in such a case, Tadav Shana Torah Kodem, or might there be other operating principles that should guide us in such a difficult situation? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav here says, it's quoted by many other poskim subsequently, that he holds that there is no din of Tadav Shana Torah Kodem. You have to go back to other principles. He's not suggesting solutions to every possible case that's going to come up. But one thing he's saying is, you don't use Tadav Shana Torah Kodem as the operating principle if that's going to mean that you can't fulfill the second mitzvah. Another place... Well, there's... What do you mean? What would you... What's your case? So we're going to get to that. From a Tosfos. Better than a Shulchan Aruch HaRav will get from a Tosfos in a minute. Right, that's one of the classic times we have these Shailas, the Shabbos or Chodesh Chanukah, with the three Torahs and all the good stuff. Another place that some of the more recent poskim point out, it's not as explicit, but it's an interesting case that's worth reading to you, and it's clear by implication that he holds this way as well, is a comment that the Aruch HaShulchan makes in Siman Reish Chaf Hei, which is the siman that deals with Shechiyonu, right, a new fruit. So says Shechiyonu. So he says the following. He discusses here and says, hey, very interesting question. When you can make a Shechiyonu on a fruit, which bracha do you make first? Shechiyonu or Bar Priyates? So here he quotes, most people make the Ahaitz and then Shechiyonu. I've seen certain poskim who say this, which he doesn't mention and they're not important to us tonight. He says one of the reasons that they say you should say Ahaitz first is because obviously Ahaitz or Hadama, whatever the case may be, you certainly say that a lot more frequently than the Shechiyonu. If you eat the apple or whatever, the kiwi or whatever, your star fruit, we can go around the room. What are your new? What Shechiyonu fruits everyone uses? Your pomegranate. So you can eat that all year round, but you only make the Shechiyonu once. You must certainly make Haetz all year round. So he says that's one argument. However, the Aruch HaShulchan argues. I don't know if certain people have a Masorah or Tzlal Aruch HaShulchan. So you have to know he argues on that min Klal Yisrael. Olani Yastayti Nira LaHakdim Birka Shechiyonu. Why? V'lo Shayech Kantam Tadir. He's going to give two reasons, and the second one will be important to us, but we'll read both. He says he does not think the Tadav Shana Torah Kodem is relevant to this question. Why? First reason, the Tam Tadir Eino Ella Kishachiv Shnehem. This relates to Sam's point before, at least in theory. I don't know if he would agree with you or you'd agree with him about the application. But he says the same idea you were saying before, that you always say Tadav Shana Torah Kodem when the Chiyuv is Shnehem Boim Ka'achas. When both chiyuvim come at the same time, and then you have to choose which one to do. Aval kan, now he's getting to Birchas Shechiyonu Lamdus. Birchas Shechiyonu Chal Kodem. Iker Birchas Shechiyonu hi al hari'iyah. Aloha al achila. Elishon anogim lebarach b'shas achila. Aval Birchas Aperahu rak b'shas achila. So he says, first of all, in his opinion, he says Shechiyonu first, because Tadir is only when you have a convergence simultaneously of two chiyuvim. But he says, really, Shechiyonu becomes more obligatory, because once you see the new fruit, and that, as the Yerushalmi, which he begins the siman with, fleshes out, the whole idea of Shechiyonu was we're inspired and in awe of Hashem's beautiful creation, new beautiful things every year, so that right when you see it, you're inspired by Hashem's creation. But, just like we say, you know, we like to attach, again, it's not just a folk or cultural wisdom, it's a halachic reality, we like to attach brachos to food, and to actions. Not just seeing things. So that's why we, right, there's the idea of having certain things a la kos. It gives it a certain significance in chashivus if you add. So similarly, we wait, we make the bracha, we're going to eat the fruit. But fundamentally, we're already machayev already. As opposed to the bracha of Birchas Hanenin is by definition only then. So therefore, he says that, you know, it's like two horses will have to closing at the wire. But Shechiyonu got there first. So if that got there first, you should say that first. But the second reason, and this is what's more important to us, he says the following, Va'od. The bechol birchas hananin tsar shelo yehi hefsek bein a bracha la'achila. If you'll make, now obviously those who argue hold it's not a hefsek, right? That's definite. That's obvious. But he assumes the shechiyonu would be a hefsek, And we know you're not allowed to have a hefsek between a brechas anen and in the food you eat. Ulechein yesh lahaktin brech shechianu. Lechein ani noheg. He gives you personal testimony. Not every day you hear that. What's the implication? What's the implication? What's his implication? If you would say shechianu first, I'm sorry, if you made the brechas anen first, you wouldn't be able to say the shechianu, because in so doing he would hold it's a hefsek. So, if you take a step back for a moment, what is he saying in this second explanation? You don't say tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kodem if it's going to prevent you from doing the other mitzvah. And in this case, again, others would disagree with his analysis, but according to his understanding, if you would employ tadir here, i.e. make the brechas hanenin first, you would preclude ever being able to make the shechianu because it's a hefsik. So if you're pushing the shechianu off the road, you don't let the tadir one go first. You can ask me 100 shayos on Achshuch, and I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. Okay, there is a tzur. Okay, maybe I do have an answer. There is a tzur of kiddush. Maybe that's the chazal were misaking it there. I don't really know. But we could varsh first. But we have other things to accomplish. But I don't know. I'm not sold on this Aruch HaShulchan. It's he himself says that most people don't follow him. But this is that's also worth noting. But this is his argument. I just mentioned it to you not to get distracted. I just mentioned it to you to give you another example of a posek who holds that he limits the application of Torah Shonah Torah Kodim. There is also a very interesting. I'll save that for a second. The Tehillah LeDavid, a posek who lived after the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Tehillah LeDavid quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi gets back to our Musaf and Mincha Shaila. Yerushalmi in the fourth parak of Maseches Brachos says, that's the context there, and I'll save the specifics of Yerushalmi for a few minutes after this, but the basic point which is explicit came out in that Yerushalmi is that we do say Tadir even if it means bumping the other guy off the road, even if it means you'll never do the second mitzvah. If you can only do one, you do the Tadir one first. That's what Yerushalmi says, that's the operating principle. And the Tila David says this, and the truth is that there are some subsequent poskim, in fact even the Sarv Yosef Lieberman I saw, they quote the Tila David as a bar pluksa with the previous position, based on the Yerushalmi. But if you look up the Tila David, it's clear, I'm sorry, not Rav Yosef Lieberman, Chalila, there's another contemporary dayan, Shmuel Eliezer Stern, is a dayan in Bnei Brak, I believe it's under Vozner's Bezdin. So he has a letter where he's discussing a different issue, and he quotes the Tehillah David, at first like, oh, I found someone who argues on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. But as he himself acknowledges in a subsequent letter, if you continue in the Tehillah David, he then, after all is said and done, says, well, but the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, and he could have added the Aruch HaShulchan too, but he quotes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that we don't say it in such a case. So that's a third posek. And a very interesting example of this as well comes from a tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Orachaim Chelek Dalad Simen Tzadi Tes. He tests a number of miscellaneous things, and this is in honor of the chassidim in the room. It's well known that there are two basic minhagim, which to a large extent is chassidim and the rest of the world, which is very few people, of course, that when do you shake lulav? When do you do the mitzvah on the tefillas lulav? When do you fulfill the mitzvah on the tefillas lulav? So some do right in the morning before davening in the sukkah. That's the holy chassidim. And Nebuch, the rest of us, do it right before Hallel. There's a whole brisker Torah that you have to connect the lentila and the na'anuim, because the na'anuim are a chilek. The chassidim are interested. Why do they hold you have to do it in the morning in the sukkah? It's a Zohar. It's not a Rizal. Excuse me, it's not a Rizal. The Arizal said to do it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, how could you go like this Arizal? Tadur shenu tadur tadur kodem. Tefillah is a mitzvah. Tefillah certainly is before lulav. So Rav Moshe, this is an important tshuva for sukkah, and I certainly want to get distracted in Dalaminim Lumbus. But Rav Moshe has a whole argument, again it's not so long, but he builds a nice argument, that really, he downplays in a certain sense, by implication, the uniqueness or centrality of what we do with the Nanuim, etc. But he basically holds that any time during the day, just hold and walk around with that lulav, you're Yotzei. Right. Again, he has a famous Gemara as he quotes. I'm not saying it's controversial, but he develops this idea, which I don't want to get into now. But his point is that
But first, you gotta make the bracha. If you're gonna be, yotzei all this time, you walk into shul, see what are you gonna have kavanah not to be yotzei. It gets too complicated. So if you're gonna be able to, but you want to be yotzei that whole time, you walk into shul and everything else. So first, you gotta make sure you've done the real netilah and you made a bracha. So that's why he says you have to do it first. Why don't you say tadir and do tefillah first? Because listen, I gotta get the lulav of the shul, and then I won't be able to make the bracha. Because I'll have already, or I won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah until then. By saying I have to daven first, I'll have to come up with some gimmick as a way not to make sure I wasn't yotzei beforehand. So even though it's temporary, because I still have plenty of time the rest of the day to learn to do lulav, but even that temporary dechia of the mitzvah of netilas lulav, says Ramosha, according to this minhag. Now, anyone know what did Ramosha himself do? I don't know that he necessarily did this. No, I'm saying, does he therefore... don't get in high fancy lumdas. He lived on Epiad Drive. What did he do when he was in the burbs? That's the question. Okay, did he come to Baltimore for Shabbos?
Yeah, he had a grandchild.
I know. So I don't know. I don't know what he did, but the point is he has a good defense for those who, he's not tearing down what the others are doing. He's actually defending. Somebody mentioned about Shabbos Chanukah. So there's a Tosfos. The real mocker, which is not always quoted, but I think the real mocker for all of this, is what's clearly the Mashmas of a Tosfos. You can't get better than that. Tosfos on Shabbos Tachav Gimel. There he says, he's talking about when you have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh on Chanukah. So we know you're going to read the Parshas HaShavua. But what's the next thing you're going to pull out? Which is going to be that second Torah? So Tosfos says that we do Rosh Chodesh. We're mocked in that because of Tosh and Torah Kodem. Because after all, we can just easily read Hanukkah after that. But the implication that some poskim say, and I think it's clear, is that if theoretically you wouldn't be able to do a Hanukkah subsequently, then there are those who argue that you might even have Dafka said the opposite because the Pesumei Niso or something to that effect. Maybe you could have an argument that Hanukkah would come first. But the point is, you wouldn't say Tadir if it ruled out the Hanukkah. You'd have to figure out another way. But so Tosfos says you can just easily do two, so why not do Rosh Chodesh first? I want to mention another very interesting machlokas. Sometimes this comes up. We may even have mentioned this once in the Mishnah Berurah with Simon Chamarev, and that is, how do you define the frequency that is implied by Tadir? A chakira that I would call quantitative or calendaric. And those who are familiar know what I mean. One of the big places where this comes up is the Shagas Aryeh. I mentioned the Shagas Aryeh has a number of tshuvas. So the Shagas Aryeh in Simon Chof Beis discusses the following. If you are eating a meal on an evening, Pesach night, for those who didn't say Sfir Somer in Shul, let's say. Maybe the women, if you'll assume that they're chayv in Sfir Somer. It's way nighttime now. What do you do first? Do you bench, or do you count Sfir Somer? That is the Shagas Aryeh's question. Do you bench, or do you count Sfir Somer? So he says the following. He happens to have, I think we'll maybe mention at the end of the shir, do I have it written down here? I think if I'm... Yeah, he has, leave aside what happens if the same shiloh would happen during the weekday. Could just as easily happen. So we'll leave that aside for a moment. He's specifically talking about Shabbos Yontif, you were chayv to have a suda. Says the way he formulates his psak is as follows. He says, well, since we certainly bench on Shabbosos and Yom Tovim a lot more than 50 times a year, therefore, that is Tadir vis-a-vis Sfiras Omer. So the Psak is not what interests me now. It's the rationale. Namely, it's clear that he is defining Tadir by what I would call the quantitative method. How many times do you do it in a year? So if you bench more than you count Sfiras Omer, that constitutes the Tadir. However, there is another approach. No, Shabbos and Yontif specifically. Yes, because we'll see he has a different tshuva where he differentiates. Yeah, because of the chiliyah versus rishos idea. Which is a chiddush in his own right, but I want to save that for in a few minutes. There's another discussion, though, that other poskim have, just to give you two relatively
recent tshuvas, one mamish our day, and another, but both 20th century tshuvas. Yeshua Ehrenberg, who was one of the great rabbanim in the early earlier part of the century in Eretz Yisrael, and his tshuvas, Chelik Beis and Yud Gimel, as well as contemporary posuk from Bnei Brak, Rav Nosson Gestetner, and his tshuvas Laharis Nosson, they both discuss a variation of this type of shaila. Namely, what if you have a competition between... Is that Laharis Nosson?
Yeah.
Ooh, I love him. Okay. Do you have Chelik Alf there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Simon Chav Zayin. I hope I wrote it down right. I told you the computer was on the fritz. Chav Zayin? Svira Saomer versus Joey. Ding, ding, ding. But I didn't speak about the Rosen Gestetner, I don't think, did I? Yeah. But this is where I mentioned this point. In Mishnah Berurah, right. Very good, very good. So this is the suffix. How do you, which, so what we're going to use Tadir. So until now we were saying certain times, do you say Tadir, do not say Tadir. Here says these posts, of course you're going to say Tadir. The question is, which one is more Tadir than the other? How do you decide? So it depends what your definition is. If you'll go, let's think about this together. If you go by the quantitative method that we just mentioned until now, we count Sfiras Omer 49 times, and you only make Kiddush Levana 12 times. But if you go by the calendaric, meaning what happens more frequently, Kiddush Levana happens once a month, Sfiras Omer happens once a year, then that should be Tadira. Now, what does Rav Gestetner say? What is his psak? Does he have a sikkum? Sometimes he has a sikkum. No. Read the last paragraph. Does he have a sikkum at the end? Oh, so he says Sfiras Omer Kodemus? Okay. Exactly. Ditto.
Have you had the same minhag by the Pesach Bekapol and Shul? Right?
Yeah.
What comes first?
Either way, Havdalah.
Havdalah is both.
Before Havdalah, right?
But that's for a different reason. That's not something to do with Tadir. That has to do with Tmimos. That's not because of Tadir. That's because of Tmimos.
In Zvachin, there was a question of Makudash.
Yes. So that's if you have a competition. Yes. We're going to get to it. We're going to try to get to it. There is a suffix. I mentioned it. The Gemara has a suffix. There's two Mishnayos. Again, if you hear the Halachic Shaila, it's interesting on one level. But if you open up that Peites and Zvachim, it's actually a very beautiful Shaila. Because there's two Mishnayos back to back. One says Kol Shetadir Mechavero, another one says Kol Shemekudosh Mechavero. So the Shaila the Gemara asks is, well, what happens if the two Mishnayos converge? One is more Tadir, one is more Kadir. And the Gemara, two Mishnayos, what are you going to do? That's a standstill. But let's just mention briefly for a moment another klal, which is interesting for Hilchos Tefillah, which is one of the cases I mentioned before, which is the Mincha versus Musaf standoff. Now, if, in theory, you could do both and you have plenty of time for both, so this is the Machlokas quoted in Masachas Brachos, which one do you do first? But certainly, if you're going to go with the principle of Tadir, it's obvious. The question is, Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's another principle which trumps Tadir. But that's not our topic tonight. The point is, if you go with Tadir, then it's obvious Mincha should go first. However, Yerushalmi, right? Not only is it a Gemara, Machlok, Masach, Brach, Tav, Chav, Ches, but as I mentioned, this is a Yerushalmi that was mentioned before, where the Yerushalmi seems to say the following. What if you have a different case? What if you remember that, right before Shkira, you can only do one, Musaf or Mincha, what do you do? So, Tadir should win. On the other hand, oh, very good. So the Shagas Aryeh and the Magen Avram, both, the Shagas has a Havamina not this way, but then he concludes like the Magen Avram, but it's both. They both come to the conclusion that despite the fact that Mincha is more Tadira, here we have an escape clause that will allow us to Efshar Lakayim Shneihem. Namely, say Musaf first, and then, assuming you were Shogeg or Onus until then anyway, so you have an escape clause called Tashlumin, you'll daven two Marivs, which we allow in such a case. So that way you'll be able to have your cake and eat it too. You won't... That's not considered B'mezid. B'mezid is if you're, watching the game instead. But to fulfill a mitzvah instead, again, that's not against watching games. But this is just... You certainly should do that if you have 5 minutes of daven Musaf or Mincha. Oh, there you go. Okay? He said it, not me. Okay? We're getting very personal here, which is a good sign. We've grown over the course of the year. We're comfortable with each other. The Shulchan Aruch discusses this. You should just know that the Dagum Revava is V'cheskelenda, the author of the Note of Yehuda. Dagum Revava is his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So he doesn't understand how can you paskin this idea. What happened to the Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi, again, we don't seem to hold like this, but the Dagum Revava seem to.
and others may quote this. Yerushalmi seems to say Tadir is all powerful. Even if it'll knock Musaf off the road, you should still say Tadir. And that's what the Dogma of Rava seems to say. But the most of the other postgame, now I would just mention, I had in my mind, and I had just written on the computer before I went frozen, and I don't remember it, but I had two dechiyas of this. I can't remember the second one. But the first one is that this could be complicated by the following, that this may very well relate to the chakira of what is the role of Tashlumin. How do you understand Tashlumin? This itself is a major shaila. Some say that when you say the second mincha or whatever, it's as if Chazal had a kula. Who said that you can only daven shacharis until time X? It's ideally only until time X. But in cases where you were unable to, and you do the tashlumin by saying two minchas, it's as if you did two, it's as if you did shacharis. You just did it at a different time and in a different order. That's the most ambitious, so to speak, understanding of tashlumin. And there's a lot of makaros to support such an idea. And others say no. Others say no. Perhaps it means, listen, you can't do it. But, you know, like if you didn't do well on a test, so the teacher says at the end of the semester, you can write me an extra paper, and you can get much, if not all, of that credit back. So if you miss Shacharis, Chazal say nu, say second mincha, and you'll get most, if not all, of the credit anyway. But it's not as if you daven Shacharis, it's that you did two minchas. So it could very well be that, the more you see Tashlumin as you really get the other one, so then it's really great, so why certainly should daven Musaf first? And it could be that's the basis of it. But as if you saw Tashlumin as a lesser accomplishment, that doesn't mean automatically you would say the Tadir trumps, but then it's more of a Shaila. If you hold that Tashlumin is really the Mincha, it's really the Shacharis, whatever the case, in this case, it would really be the Mincha, so then perhaps that's a better reason to say go with that route that was suggested. That's just a parenthetical. Just for those, some of the originals may remember the family of Rabbi Carmi Schwartz, of original Shomrei fame. So he has one son, Rav Ezra, who's a good friend of mine and a significant Talmud Chacham. So a number of years ago, he published an essay, which I didn't have a chance to read. I just jogged my memory. I just double-checked it tonight. He published an essay in the Yeshiva Torah Journal, Beis Yitzchak, on this very issue. He had a whole chiddush that this chakira related to Girsas and a Rambam and a Gemara and Brachos. But it's a very interesting sugya, and there's a lot of rayas back and forth on that issue. To finish up this year, let's mention, we have a few minutes left, a few other miscellaneous ideas. One comes from what Rabbi Reischer was asking me before, and that is in this Shuvah, the Shag Zayin Siman Chaf Aleph discusses not Shabbos and Yontif benching, but Chol. What if you have a Shaila where Kriya Shema, for example, and let's say you're eating and now it's already after Tesach HaChavim, so now you have a Chiyuv of Kriya Shema. Do you bench first, or do you say Kriya Shema first? So what he says, you could come at this maybe from different angles, but what's relevant for us is that the Shagas Aryeh says, even if you would assume that Birchas HaMazon is more Tadir, because after all, maybe you need to bench multiple times a day, etc., etc. However, he says Birchas HaMazon during the week is not considered a full-fledged Chiyuv. Well, my son, I'm always arguing with him to bench. He knows this. Meaning that you don't have to eat bread. Since once you eat bread, of course you have to bench. But since you don't have to eat bread, it's a lower level chiyuv, as opposed to Kriya Shema, of course, is a central mitzvah d'oraisa. And therefore, he says that would for sure trump, that's the Shagas Aryeh's idea, which is why I was very specific beforehand, which is his chiddush, where he spoke in the other direction. He was specifically talking about when it was a Yom Tov or Shabbos meal.
It's more like
Mekudesh.
I mean, he's
okay, could be. Good.
And also, how do you know what's tutter? I mean, the question.
Okay, so we saw that before, but we know what the Shagas Aryeh thinks. He's the quantitative approach.
Okay.
Right, that's
I'm saying that in this case.
Yeah, I guess it's fair point.
And as soon as you're going to say Kriya Shema be a fetus, you're going to daven be a fetus, as opposed to having a minion.
Right. Well, maybe you daven, right? Maybe you went to the Shkia minion or something. Right? There have been Jews who have known to do such things. Okay. A very interesting machlokis between real heavyweights of a number of generations ago has to do with the following. What if Megillah comes out on the time Megillah versus Kiddush Levana? Right, still quick, right? Maybe. That's getting to the middle of the month. Megillah versus Kiddush Levana. So the note of Yehuda has a tshuva. He says you should do Kiddush Levana first because it's Tadir.
Say for other reasons too. Maybe the clouds will come and you'll miss.
Okay, yes, yeah, I think he may, if I'm not mistaken, he may throw that in. Certainly Megillah others do. Right, that's true, correct. However, it's worth noting that the Netziv in the Meshiv Davar and Rosh Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Shnos Eliyahu both argue, because they hold there's another consideration which trumps Tadir. Namely, where are you when this happens? You're in Shul. So to go outside to do Kiddush Lavan and then have to come back, that is a Ke'ein Mavir and Alamitvus. You're there, you're ready to do Megillah. You're going to say, well, time out! We're going to go do Kiddush Lavan and come back. That's not right. Yeah, I don't think you're Tzichar Zibura. Rabbis never quote Tzichar Zibura. It's a general rule. You've never heard that out of a rabbi. The Baal Matim can apply in 100 ways.
You have to have a Rosh Hashanah. In the days when people made it at home, the bris, they used to have Musaf first and make the bris later.
Okay. Then again, Musaf may be more elastic in general. But a last thing to mention, and this relates to what was asked for about Mekudesh versus Talyer. A very interesting minhag, the Rishonim, it's actually mentioned in a Tosfos, Hagas Maimonides, Sefer Rokeach, a number of these Ashkenazic Rishonim quote the following, that they used to have a minhag to bring Chasan and Kal to the Chuppah early in the morning before davening. Needless to say, you can imagine I wouldn't be such a fan of a minhag like this. Okay? Maybe it's
new guidelines.
Yeah. That's how you keep the crabs down. So there is a discussion that some of the poskim have. What about Tadir? Right? It's a mitzvah to get married. But certainly davening is a lot more Tadir than that. So do it in the morning. Do it after davening. So some say, we do bris milah in the morning. Yeah, no sense. We do bris milah.
So we have your mitzvah.
But we do bris milah after davening. So why a minhag? Again, the poskim are some of the Rishonim just say early in the morning, but a few of the Rishonim are explicit. It's kodem hatfila. Oh, so that could be.
He might hesitate.
So there's. He finally said yes. Get him there. Okay, I know a few mothers would agree with that. So there's two answers that I saw quoted. There's a journal, a very beautiful journal that comes out of Muncie, called the Kovetz Or Yisrael. It's a very rigorous journal, and it's focused not only on halacha, but it's very interesting. It has a lot of unique essays on minhag. The author is a very fine Talmud Chacham. He's actually written a sefer on Pidyon HaBen Kilchasa, I think, is him. Anyway, he's the editor of the journal. It's a very, very nice journal. So in the Kovetz Or Yisrael, Tishrei, Tuf Shtam and Aleph, it had an article, I forget the author name, and he had two suggested answers to this question. One, this is what you mentioned, Allah, what you mentioned before. The Gemara in Shabbos, Naf Kuf Nun, and Rashi, that also subsequently mentions this once or twice, refers to getting married as Cheftzei Shamayim. That's the term that's used. Cheftzei Shamayim, it's a desire of Shamayim or the Baruch Shel Olam. So if that's the case, one suggestion he has is that that is already somewhat synonymous with Mekudesh. So we had in the Gemara a Safek Tadir versus Mekudesh, and the Gemara had said no answer. And if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Evel, the Rambam says Tadir versus Mekudesh. You know what the Rambam says? It's a pick'em. You get to choose whichever one you want. The Gemara loses a Safek. The Rambam says explicitly you can pick whichever one you want. So I don't know what the reason was, but this is one defense for the fact that that's not a compromising Tadir by having the wedding first. Because if the wedding is considered on some level Mekudesh, so you are allowed, apparently, to pick that sometimes over Tadir. A second answer that is he suggests is based on the idea of Minug that we're all familiar with. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Siman Tzadi Beis. There's an idea that either really before or sometime in the preparation, certainly before Baruch Hu, there's a Minug to give Tzedakah. Why? The Shulchan Aruch quotes this. Why is there, which many people follow, what is the idea of this? The idea of it is, based on a Chazal, that one should be makbid on before approaching the Bonar Shalom, and I think it's some of the more mystical Svarim describe this idea that the more you connect with and show your love for other Jews, so somehow you tap into the power of all of their tefillas are working for you, not just, so even if you, spaced out a moment or two, but it's okay because they got millions of brachas to help you because you gave tzedakah, you felt connected to other Jews, which is certainly in a hashkafic vein, is certainly a beautiful idea. So the Rambam, based on this, he suggests, the Rambam also mentions that Hachnasas Kala, Bim Sameach Chasan V'Kala, that is considered a fulfillment, is one of the things that the Rambam lists as examples, in Hechaz Evel, of V'Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So if giving tzedakah or other types of things which are like Hachanos and helping, so something like this, which is really what he calls a Cheftza of V'Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, you're really doing it, so certainly that can be before davening, it's in preparation for davening, it helps davening. So too here, perhaps he suggests that Hechaz Kala. The whole minhag was news to me until I saw this article. I never knew about these Rishonim, and certainly the defense is That's a mochach, the speculative. I don't know if the question is such a good question anyway. But we should all have simchas. Yishakayach. Good Shabbos.